as of September 2015, the Air Force Reserve had about 2,300 cyber personnel. But as DOD's demand for cyber professionals continues to rise, the Air Reserve is trying to keep up. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni talked with General James Jackson, the chief of the Air Force Reserve, about how the reserve is dealing with the cyber demand and what kinds of training cyber service members are receiving.
Well, currently we're very excited about this part of our enterprise. It is a part that we're growing in, and we think it's a great fit for the Air Force Reserve. We currently have 11 cyber units that have stood up in Texas, Colorado, Nebraska, Virginia, California, Oklahoma, and Georgia, if you want any of those locations. We're also growing three additional ones in FY17. Currently, they're doing a variety of cyber missions for the Air Force. We're doing mission assurance and defense of the Air Force network, obviously, which is very important to make sure that our airmen and our systems can connect to each other. We are also providing cyber protection teams, doing defensive cyberspace operations, once again, in support of CyberCom and the COCOMs. And we also have a combat comm capability within our organizations that we're currently doing. One of the units that we're standing up in the future in 17 is going to be part of the training pipeline. We're going to be standing up an associate unit to do training at Hurlburt. And so that'll help go ahead and make sure that we can get the cyber airmen trained for the Air Force, all three components, active, guard, and reserve, at that location.
So right now, DOD has a pretty high demand for cyber positions. What are you doing to make sure that people get the cyber training that they need?
Well, actually, the manning at the schoolhouse, the MQT schoolhouse at Hurlburt, right now they're putting through as many cyber folks as they can to get them mission qualified, and they're working really hard down there. They're doing shift work and everything they can to make the throughput work out. We're going to do an association on that organization so that our manpower can help them actually improve the quality of life at that location and make sure that the students are getting all the training that they need. So it's going to be additional part-time and full-time manpower to do mission qualification training for cyber.
Can you give us a little bit of insight as to what kind of training the service members go through, what it's like for them in these courses?
Well, I'm not the expert on it, but we have basically what you do is that you'll go through initial cyber training. If you come in as a non-prior service member and not having accomplished any training for the Air Force or another service, you'll go ahead and go through initial training, which takes you about BMT, which is basic military training, initial qual training, and mission qual training is about 18 months total. And of that, the mission qual is about 2 to 5 months, depending on what you're doing. So I'm saying about 8 months total is what the initial qual is, and 18 months total as you go through mission qualification. So the unit that we're standing up down at Hurlburt, that syllabus lasts about 45 to 50 days. So our instructors will be teaching students for about 45 to 50 days, if that's answering your question.
Now, you testified with General Grass of the National Guard in front of the Senate Appropriations Committee. He said he had a cyber backlog. What kind of backlog are you working with, or are you working with any kind of backlog right now?
Well, it's a total force backlog, if you want to call it that, in my opinion. What's happening is that we have just enough instructors in the training pipelines a certain size right now. And so that's why we're putting the associate unit down at Hurlburt to help with the mission qualification piece of that. And so when you go through that course now, we're not helping out on the initial qualification, and the priority has to be determined on who's going to get those slots first. So I gave you an example of the mission sets that we're doing in defensive cyber and cyber protection teams and mission assurance. Right now, the Air National Guard and the Air Force, active duty Air Force, is getting primarily first priority on the slots, and so that's requiring us to take our members and put them later and later school dates. I wouldn't call it a backlog. What we do is that we take our members and we assign them to the units, and then we put in what's called a developmental training flight so that they're not just hanging out, not doing anything. They're actually learning about the Air Force and also learning about the unit that they're going to come back to after they finish their training. And the Air Force Reserve funds that and allows them to be great airmen when they finally do get to training, and we do extremely well with that program. So that's how we're making adjustments to make sure that that everyone's getting through the pipeline in a priority fashion when it comes to the mission stand-ups of the organizations.
I know you're not calling it a backlog, but this holdup in regular training, what is causing that? What's the main reason for this backup?
It's just the amount of throughput that's available in Education and Training Command and the number of instructors and class seats that they have. So you experience sometimes in different mission sets, okay, like right now we're putting in place the training requirements for KC-46s, the new aircraft that's coming online, and also the F-35. And so we're building the schoolhouses and making sure we have enough slots for people to go through all of that type of training. And so it occurs basically in other AFSCs also, not just in cyber. And so now that we have actually determined with the cyber mission teams and what the growth requirements and manpower is going to be, we've got to get those airmen on board, all three components, get them trained, and get them into the units to the mission set. So that's why we've got this piece going on right now where we don't have quite a big enough pipeline probably for everybody to go through at the same time.
Is there anything that you need from Congress or anything that you need from DOD that could really help you, you know, regardless of the fiscal environment that you're in?
Well, from Congress and DOD, they're very supportive. The leadership of the Air Force is very supportive of everything that we're doing with the Guard and Reserve helping in this mission set. There's not. There was in the NDAA, I should say. I'm sorry. Some language when it comes to constructive credit. It actually allows us to get our folks, if we gain somebody who has in the outside and gotten some training and certificates possibly in the civilian sector, so when you go work for Microsoft or Dell or somebody and they train you, you know, that costs money, but in addition, you get a certificate or a qualification once that training is accomplished. What we're attempting to do and get Congress's support for is to make sure that that type of training could be counted towards military training also where it applies. And so that's called constructive credit. So in the last NDAA, in the draft NDAA that they're putting in place, from 14, it talks about a section that would allow cyber officers to get constructive credit from that outside civilian training to be used on the military requirements. It did not include the reserve component. So what we're trying to do in 2017 NDAA is go ahead and add the Guard and Reserve to that so that if we hire somebody into the reserve component and they have been trained outside using civilian funds or civilian programs, that we could allow them to take constructive credit also.
That's General James Jackson, the Chief of the Air Force Reserve, talking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni. You can share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Just click Share with Friends.